Some opening words by Cliff Reid. We come to give thanks for the mothers who bore us and nurtured us, to celebrate the love and kindness we receive from them. We come to give thanks for the children entrusted to us for a little while. Holy One, be with us in both the joy and the grief they bring. We come to give thanks for this wonderful creation, for our Mother, the Earth, and for the glory of life in which we share. Our chalice lighting words today are again by Cliff Reid. May the warmth of our chalice flame be to us a reminder of the warmth we knew in our mother's womb, a promise of the warmth we seek in this community of the way of love. Let us join in the fellowship of prayer. Spirit of life and love, be with us as we gather for worship, each in our own place. Help us to feel a sense of community, even though we are physically apart. Help us to care for each other in this world in which COVID has not yet gone away, and the clouds of war and climate change overshadow us. May we keep in touch however we can, and help each other however we may. May we remember that caution is still needed, that close contact is still unwise. Help us to be grateful for the freedoms we have, and to respect the wishes of others. May we hold in our hearts all those who are grieving, lost, alone, victims of violence and war, suffering in any way. Thinking specially today of all the mothers in war-torn countries like Gaza and the Ukraine, and in poverty-stricken regions around the world, whose only desire is to keep their children safe and fed and happy. Amen. Our first reading today is from the Prophet by Khalil Gibran. And a woman who held a babe against her bosom said, "Speak to us of children." And he said, "Your children are not your children. They are the sons and daughters of life's longing for itself. They come through you, but not from you. And though they are with you, yet they belong not to you. You may give them your love, but not your thoughts, for they have their own thoughts. You may house their bodies, but not their souls, for their souls dwell in the house of tomorrow, which you cannot visit, not even in your dreams. You may strive to be like them, but seek not to make them like you. For life goes not backward, nor tarries with yesterday. You are the bows from which your children as living arrows are sent forth. The archer sees the mark upon the path of the infinite, and he bends you with his might, that his arrows may go swift and far. Let your bending in the archer's hand be for gladness, for even as he loves the arrow that flies, so he loves also the bow that is stable. I invite you now to join me in, if you wish, in this alternative version of the Lord's Prayer. Spirit of life and love, here and everywhere, may we be aware of your presence in our lives. May our world be blessed. May our daily needs be met, and may our shortcomings be forgiven, as we forgive those of others. Give us the strength to resist wrongdoing, the inspiration and guidance to do right, and the wisdom to know the difference. We are your hands in the world. Help us to grow. May we have compassion for all living beings and receive whatever life brings with courage and trust. Amen. Our second reading is The Many Names for Mother, Father, Parent by Janet H. Bowering. Blessed is the person who feeds and warms, washes and comforts a child, and soothes them in illness. For they shall be called caregiver. Blessed is the person who gives shelter and food, clothing, toys, books and tools. For they shall be called provider. Blessed is the person who opens doors in the child's experience, who explains the puzzling and wonders at the mysterious. For they shall be called teacher. Blessed is the person who shields a child from that which will wither or warp, who protects a child from abuse and exploitation, who guards against bullying and scorn. For they shall be called defender. Blessed is the person who takes the time to listen, who is there for a child in the darkness, who is aware of the fears, who speaks the words of encouragement in moments of despair. For they shall be called sustainer. Blessed is the person who guides a child in the search for beauty, who encourages them at what is daunting, who steadies them as they explore new experiences, who fires their aspirations and their dreams. For they shall be called inspirer. Blessed are all these persons who help bring an infant along the many paths to maturity, for in them is the future well-being of humanity. Let us join once more in the fellowship of prayer. We reflect in thanksgiving this day for all those whose lives have nurtured ours, the life-giving ones who heal with their presence, who listen in sympathy, who give wise advice, but only when asked for it. We are grateful for all those who have mothered us, who have held us gently in times of sorrow, who celebrated with us our triumphs, no matter how small, who noticed when we changed and grew, who praised us for taking risks, who took genuine pride in our success, and who expressed genuine compassion when we did not succeed. On this day that honours mothers, let us honour all mothers, men and women alike, who from somewhere in their being have freely and wholeheartedly given life and sustenance and vision to us. Dear God, Mother, Father of us all, grant us life-giving ways, strength for birthing, and a nurturing spirit that we may take attentive care of our world, our communities, and those precious beings entrusted to us by biology, or by destiny, or by friendship, fellowship, or fate. Give us the heart of a mother today. Amen. Our final reading is somewhat sadder. It's called No Christmas in Bethlehem by Cliff Reid. There's no Christmas in Bethlehem this year. No Christmas tree, no coloured lights, no celebrations, no revellers. There's too much suffering, too much violence, too much hatred, too much resentment, too much oppression. Too many people are homeless, too many are refugees, too many are fearful, too many are hungry, too many are sick, too many people are wounded, too many are bereaved. Too many are without hope. Too many call on God and get no answer. Too many babies are born into misery. Too many lack the medicine they need. Too many have lost the security of home and family. Too many children have died. Too many mothers weep comfortless, like Rachel in Rama, weep for sons and daughters who are no more. There's no Christmas in Bethlehem this year. It's too much like Bethlehem 2,000 years ago, when Jesus was born in a fractured, occupied land. There was no Christmas then, either. Only the birth of a baby who grew up to show us it need not be this way. God have mercy. I invite you now into a time of stillness and reflection, to find a position in which it is comfortable for you to sit, so that you are able to sense the presence of the Spirit among us and between us, across the miles and across the technology. There will be some words, there will be a time of silence, then a few more words. Spirit of life and love, you've been a father and mother to us all. We enter into this time of stillness with mixed emotions. This is Mother's Day, a day set aside to honour, celebrate, and in some cases simply to reflect on those women who gave us birth. Some of us come to this day with joy, with strong and tender feelings for the women who have earned the right to be called mother. They not only gave us our lives, they are responsible for shaping our spirit. They have fed us, played with us, nurtured us, listened to us. They have given unselfishly for us. They have loved us unconditionally. If our mothers are still living, we make the extra effort to stay in touch and find ways to give back a portion of the love which we have so abundantly received. If our mothers have died, we take time to cherish our memories of them. Memories which may flood our eyes with bittersweet tears of longing. We miss her, and we feel that loss even more acutely on this day, while also being grateful for her strength, her wisdom, and her beauty, and the gifts of life which she has passed on to us. For others, this day is not a time for celebration, but rather a time for reflection. Perhaps we cannot bring ourselves to buy that Hallmark card, the one that waxes poetically about a mother's love or her presence in our lives. Rather, we may feel her absence through death or indifference. We may have complicated, difficult, unhappy associations with mother. Instead, may we use this time to reflect on those who have mothered us, the women in our lives who have shown their love for us, whether through motherhood or mentoring, those tough, gentle, truth-telling, loving, wise, whimsical women who have served as our teachers, our mentors, our guides, our friends. Let us ponder our mothering figures in the silence. And on this Mothering Sunday, may we remember the Great Mother that sustains us, whose body is the very substance of our existence, the very ground we walk upon, the very source of our being. Amen. Let's have some music. Mothering Sunday can be a tricky time for ministers, for any worship leader. I think I've told you before that the first time I did a Mothering Sunday service, more than 20 years ago now, having a loving mother myself and being a happy mother, I was blissfully unaware of the pitfalls and simply shared the joy I was feeling in my two young children. I wasn't sufficiently aware of the fact that not everyone finds this day easy. Some people had or have difficult relationships with their mothers. Others have lost a beloved parent. Some may have longed for children, yet have been unable to conceive or to carry a child to term. Yet others have lost touch with a beloved child. If any of this applies to you, I am truly sorry, and hope that you have found something here today of consolation, or at least of understanding. Each one of us, regardless of gender, can offer sensitive mothering love to another. Libby Purvis argues in her wonderful book, How Not to Be a Perfect Mother, which sustained me on my own parenting journey, that the very word mother is a job description that has little to do with gender. From the day your child is born, you as a parent are entirely responsible for their welfare. She lists the essentials. Children have to be fed, clothed against the elements, conversed with a great deal, protected from evildoers and poisons, and given the chance to play and read and observe the natural world, the adult world. They have to be educated to take in the knowledge and wisdom their society has developed, and encouraged to take it further as they grow up. They have to be loved and valued, and allowed to bestow their own love on family and friends. I cannot imagine how difficult life must be for the mothers, the parents, who are trying to do all these things when their country is at war, as Cliff Reid's words so poignantly reminded us. Let us not only hold them in our hearts, but also pledge to do something to help them. For me, mothering and parenting is above all about love, because becoming a parent, or acting in that role, which may later include looking after your own parents or a dear friend, is the most life-changing commitment anyone can make. I think it is only possible to make a halfway decent job of it if you love the person concerned and are willing to make their needs and desires a priority in your life. If you really think about it, this is also true of marriage and close friendship, as well as parenting. It's all about being in relationship, about putting someone else before yourself, and not just looking after number one. Being a mother and being a father are two very different things. As Libby Purvis explains, all we can be certain of is that a father is not, repeat not, a duplicate mother. Mother is not so much a sex-linked word as a job description, like accountant, or MP, or doctor. Some fathers do indeed carry out a lot of mothering, cuddling to sleep, listening to worries about school, physical care, sorting out socks. But fathering is a parallel and distinctly different function. However much you switch and swap, there still seem to be two roles to play in a child's life. One of them reassuring, one challenging and brave and gay. Perhaps, if there is any point at all in the concept of new fatherhood, it is that couples feel more free to take turns at both. This is certainly how it has tended to work out in our family. As they grow, children's needs change. Our duty as parents to protect them is diluted by an equal duty to prepare them for the real world. To provide a safe bolt hole for them is not only the least we can do, perhaps it is also the most any of us should do. As Khalil Gibran reminds us in The Prophet, your children are not your children. They are the sons and daughters of life's longing for itself. You are the bows from which your children, as living arrows, are sent forth. In my experience, one of the hardest things you can do as a parent is to learn to let go. You've had this precious child since it was a helpless newborn baby, unable to do anything for itself. It is hard to realise that your baby is now a reasonably competent adult, who is quite capable of sorting their own life out and making their own decisions. Libby Purvis again sums up this internal conflict beautifully. You see even more clearly that although you long to be a strong protecting wall, the only way to do it is to become a jailer. To weigh a theoretical danger against an overwhelming love is the hardest thing in the world. Mothers and a few fathers will always want to protect their children a little too much. The saving, balancing factor is that the children themselves resist it so fiercely. To weigh a theoretical danger against an overwhelming love is the hardest thing in the world. Yes. This applies whenever we love overwhelmingly. Whether the person we love is our child, our partner, or our parent. Love is about caring infinitely for somebody, yet not smothering them with our love, but standing back and letting them make their own decisions, but also about being around to pick up the pieces should things go wrong. I am now at a point in my life that both my children have grown up into adults who are emotionally and spiritually literate and are in a position to seek truth and meaning for themselves. And I experienced the enormous joy of becoming a grandmother last November when my son's son was born. When I saw the first photo of my no longer little son cradling his own son in his loving arms. My heart was overwhelmed with joy. And in the months since then, he has shown himself to be a wonderful parent, carrying out both fathering and mothering in partnership with his partner. When she returns to work, I will be taking on a more active role as I look after the little one one day a week. Such a joy, such a privilege. I believe that mothering, that parenting of whatever kind, is the most important job in the world. All of us need somebody we can depend on to love us unconditionally. As Dave Tomlinson writes in How to Be a Bad Christian, sometimes love is really hard work. On occasions, it's seemingly impossible. So it helps to remind ourselves that love isn't primarily an emotion, but a choice, an act of the will, a decision to work for the well-being of the other person, even when it means sacrificing our own well-being. Love is not about pink, fluffy feelings. It isn't even necessarily dependent on liking the other person. Jesus told his listeners that there are only two laws that matter. If these are followed, the rest can be forgotten. The first is to love God with all your heart, soul and mind. And the second is to love your neighbour as yourself. He continues, the heart of Christ's message was the love of God. He brought to ordinary people, downtrodden by ruthless rulers, the sense of their belovedness. Each person Jesus touched knew, perhaps for the first time, that their life mattered, that they were loved and cherished. I cannot believe that he would have been able to do this had he not experienced this kind of love for himself growing up. So I think that the most we can do for anyone we care for is what Mary did for her son, to love and cherish them so that they know they are beloved, so that they in their turn can go on to love others as Jesus did, as we do the best that we can. And the sort of unconditional loving that the best kind of parents do is something which we can also offer to others who are not related to us by blood. Having been in spiritual direction for the last 12 years, I have hugely appreciated the unconditional love offered by my two directors. One a female Unitarian Universalist, the other a male Anglican. They have been with me where I am, have listened to my joys and sorrows, and their support and mentoring have enabled me to grow, both spiritually and as a person. I value my relationships with them enormously. I am now a spiritual director myself and try to offer that unconditional love, that wholehearted listening to my directees. In our loving, Let us strive to do the very best that we can, where we are, for our own families and friends, and for the wider community. And today, as the wars in the Ukraine and in Gaza grind on, and there are refugees from many war-torn or natural disaster-torn countries, families being forced to flee from their homes with the minimum of possessions, in fear of their lives. Let us hold the mothers, fathers, and children of all human and natural disasters in our hearts, and resolve to do all we can to alleviate their suffering, knowing that the parents, like us, would do anything to protect and save their children from suffering. Let us open our hearts and our country to them. May it be so. Amen. Our closing words are inspired by Martin Ginkey. Spirit of life and love, may we open our hearts to all the children in the world and do what we can to make their lives easier. May we return to our everyday world refreshed. May we share the love we feel. May we look out for each other and our world, and may we keep up our hearts now and in the days to come. Amen. Let us finish with some more music.